Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Man, if I could have played against girls in high school and basketball, I'd have probably been an All-American.
An All-American at what? In girls' basketball?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it would have been called. Except, I don't know. If you'd have done that in the 70s and 80s when I was in high school, you would have been.
You would have got beaten up behind the school.
You would have got beaten up. Well, yeah. All right, Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I'd probably, I was a musician in high school, not an athlete. So I can't tell you what I would have done against the girls. I probably would have embarrassed myself.
Listen, listen, there are some extraordinary, and you're about to see this in the Winter Olympic Games coming up in February. There are some extraordinary women athletes in the world who can, in some sports, like gymnastics, for example, do things that males cannot do.
Correct.
Right.
It's a different sport.
It's a different sport. And different sports, that is true. But for somebody to deny or act like they don't know the physiological differences between male and female in terms of muscle mass, lung capacity,
bone density.
All those things that we all see for our own eyes, and then we pretend like that's not going to matter in an athletic competition, that we shouldn't discriminate on somebody who says today that they're a female.
Right.
Is ridiculous. All right, you're listening to Today's Issue. Steve, what's your first story?
All right, let's talk about today at, noon in Washington, in the Eastern time zone, right?
That's true.
If you are in the Eastern time zone.
Well, if you feel like it is, Steve.
Well, that's true.
If you don't feel like it is,
it's
maybe
noon
it's not.
Somewhere, and it happens to be on the East Coast. Franklin Graham is asking you, and we will give you permission to pause for a bit from our program to pray for our country. Because, as Franklin Graham says, we've never been in a worse situation. He's taking a look. I talked to him yesterday, and I have a thing to play for you from him from Fox this morning, where he says the same thing. His daughter, Sissy, was at the Supreme Court listening to these arguments and says it's a scriptural battle that's going on. I want to listen to what Franklin Graham has to say about all of this. Cut three.
The sins of our country are so great. My daughter was at the Supreme Court yesterday listening to the arguments about women or men being in women's sports and in locker rooms and so forth. And the ACLU, when asked, can you define what a woman is, couldn't give a definition. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? We're listening to arguments when you can't even give a definition. So our country is not just confused. It's been blinded by the God of this age, the devil. The Bible says we've been blinded, and we look around us, and people are confused, and they're blinded. They don't even know what the truth is. They don't even recognize the truth when it's right in front of them. Mm-hmm. They don't want to recognize it. So our country has never been in more trouble than it is today. And so I just hope people will just take a moment to ask for God's help. God can fix it. We repent, turn from our sins, and put our faith and trust in Him.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
So at noon today, wherever you are, he's asking you to stop and pray. And he said to me, he said, it starts with ourselves. Ask to God to take an inventory of your own life, personal life. Repent before God of any sins that you might be holding on to before you.
What's the devil he's talking about? What the devil is he talking about? See what it
there
did there?
There is a spiritual warfare going on in the world that we don't see with our eyes, but it's very real.
I'm asking a question I know the answer to, but just for the benefit of maybe listeners who they want to listen to these religious nuts talk about the devil,
right?
And they get a kick out of that. Well, because that's what Franklin Graham just said. He said the devil. So my question to you is this something real? The devil is just like Bigfoot or a tooth fairy or something.
Well, no, the devil is real.
Who says?
Jesus Christ says it. God says it. The Bible says it. Most religions that have ever existed, not that we're relying on them for any authoritative declaration, have recognized the fact that human beings are not alone on this planet. There is a spiritual realm right next door, and the veil between the natural world and the spiritual world is that veil that just that in between those two realms is very thin. And there is, in the spiritual realm, there are beings that serve God and carry out His will, and there are beings who exist in defiance of God's will. And
not, not human beings.
No. This is in the spiritual realm. And these, so you have angels. That's what they are called, generally speaking. There's some variety in the language that the Bible uses to name these spiritual beings that obey God and serve His purposes. And fallen angels or demons are those beings that resist the will of God and try to destroy human beings and human existence. And those are very real, and the Bible says they are led by a supreme rebel, and we call him, the Bible calls him the devil, which that Greek word means slanderer, the one who slanders God.
Satan is also another word.
Satan means adversary, and it is usually a, not always, but usually a proper name, the adversary, the one who leads these fallen angels in rebellion against God. And when we talk about, and when Franklin Graham talks about the state, the spiritual state of our nation, he is saying spiritual darkness has gripped the lives, the minds, the lives, the hearts of millions of people in this country and are leading them to act in a lawless manner in defiance of the truth of God.
Yeah, amen. That's great theology right there. And so, folks, we would just say, if you say, well, the devil, what are you talking about? Or that's fictional. That's Greek mythology, so to speak. No, well, every person has to look and decide for themselves. But the truth is that Jesus Christ Himself in the Bible confronted Satan,
right,
the devil, and talked about an evil spiritual entity known as the devil. So if we're crazy, it's, you would have to say Jesus Christ was crazy,
right,
because the Bible has an accounting of His confrontations with Satan and His talk of what Satan does, right?
And the fact, we kind of flip this a little bit, and the fact that Jesus Christ defeated Satan through His death upon the cross, and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has broken the power of darkness. And to Steve's point, and to Reverend Franklin Graham's point, Christians are called to pray and ask God to intervene in a land like ours, okay? And we can pray about any land, but He's asking that we pray and ask that God begin to turn hearts and minds to Him.
Amen.
And
a revival, a national revival.
A revival. Because
like we've had in the past in our history of the United States.
Several times, yeah.
Right. So and we have said this many, many, countless times. I've been here almost 30 years. February will be my 30th anniversary here as an employee. I can't tell you how many thousands of times we've said this, written this, broadcast this. When we ask Christians to get involved in politics and vote and call this company or that company, folks, we do not believe. I don't know a single person here who believes that is going to lead to the salvation of this country. Okay, we are doing that as well as praying and preaching the gospel and broadcasting sermons. We are doing that understanding that only God can save America, but we cannot be paralyzed with fear or discouragement or do nothing. We must be active. We all recognize that only God can save America.
Yeah, let me see. Tell you how this plays out in real life. Give you an example. The Rachel Green issue. Aaron Burnett at CNN interviewed Rachel Green's former father-in-law. Rachel Green was married to a guy named Timmy Macklin, Jr.
Who are we talking about, Rachel? Who's
Rachel
that?
Green, Rachel Good, I'm sorry, was the gal that was shot by ICE officers. I said Green, it's Good. Rachel Good, her former father-in-law, she was married to Timmy Macklin, Jr., who passed away. But her former father-in-law was talking about what's going on here, and he has a biblical view of this whole thing. Now, the context is he's related to Rachel Good. It's a tragedy for him. He knew her.
Yeah.
He also has a feeling, a thought about her current person in her life, the woman that she's having a relationship with. And he has a whole other, I mean, this to me is a way that you apply a biblical worldview to what's happening. Let's listen to Cut 15.
Well, you know, I'm not blaming anybody. I mean, it's a hard situation all the way around. It's hard for the, you know, for everybody involved. I mean, the ICE agent, you know, at first I didn't see the footage where, you know, he was actually, you know, he was actually being ran. I mean, I seen the bump of the car hitting his legs. And so in a flash like that, it's hard to say how you would react. From my understanding that he had been through that before, maybe dragged or something. And so, you know, like I said, it's just a hard situation for everybody. You know, Becca, you know, it's she's a great person as well. I mean, you know, I don't have many enemies. I love everybody, and that's what the Bible tells us, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But, you know, I think there's some bad choices, and the Word says, for the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. And, you know, it's I don't blame us. I don't blame Rebecca. I don't blame Renee. I just wish that, you know, if we're walking the Spirit of God, I don't think she would have been there.
Who was that again?
That was the former father-in-law of Renee Good, who's the end comment there, if we walk in the Spirit of God, if we made a better decision, she wouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Listen, you're literally putting your life at risk when you go out with the intention of confronting police officers, and in this case, federal law enforcement, and you're going to use your vehicle to impede them, get out in the middle of the street.
Yep.
Now, it would have been one thing had she done that and then got out, and when the officer said, get out of the car, and she got out of the car
and obeyed
peacefully submitted herself, you know, to handcuffs or whatever the case may be in, or citation. I don't guess they can issue a citation. But anyway, instead she decided to press to not obey the command to get out of her vehicle.
Yes.
As the officer was walking up, when she's in the middle of the street. By the way, you could have had an ambulance coming.
Yeah,
right.
You could have had a fire truck coming, and she's still out there blocking the road. And again, being a smart aleck and taunting, she and her wife, there. So when you do that, you do put yourself in a bad position and a vulnerable position. And in this case, the worst case scenario happened where she lost her life. I guess it would only have been worse by one of the ICE agents also losing their life, because the guy getting run over was in the hospital for a while. He could have been killed had the car just gone on and rolled right over him.
Yeah. Everything you're saying is absolutely correct. And what the former father-in-law, Timmy Macklin, is saying is, if they had been doing their decisions based on spiritual, godly things, they would not have been there in the first place to put themselves in that position.
Next story.
All right. President Trump still has an eye on our neighbor to the east, Greenland. He still kind of wants to take over there, and he says, you know, everything's on the table. The premier of Greenland, his name is Jens Frederik Nielsen.
Frederick?
Jens. J-E-N-S Frederick. I don't know if
Jens
they,
Frederick?
I don't know. Yeah, Nielsen. I don't know.
I used to know a Jens Frederick. Yeah, back in high school.
Is he now the premier of Greenland?
Well, he was a student. He was here from another country.
Well, if it's the same guy,
Jens,
I don't know if you...
Jens... What did you say?
Jens Frederik Nielsen. I don't know if the J is pronounced.
Anyway, what about Jens Frederik?
He is the premier of Greenland, and he says, we don't want the U.S., to which Donald Trump says, cut 13.
The premier of Greenland said today, we prefer to stay with Denmark.
That's their problem. That's their problem. I disagree with them. I don't know who he is. Don't know anything about him. But that's going to be a big problem for him.
Oh, man.
All right, Ed, you take this one.
All right, this is wrong. Okay, it's my opinion. I know we've got and I support President Trump, 95% of the time, but I don't support it. I don't even support my wife 100% of the time, folks. And this is wrong. You can't just take another country. And that's what it sounds like President Trump is doing. Now, we've had discussions about this. I don't know if this is, everyone always jokes about this, but if this is 3D or 4D chess. And what he really wants is an expansion of military access to the vast parts of Greenland that nobody needs, so we can have military bases and missile systems to shoot down missiles from Russia if that day, God forbid, ever comes. Okay, maybe this is just President Trump, making this offer, knowing that what he really wants is way back here. But I do not support the United States taking Greenland by force. I'm just going to say that. That is wrong. It is an act of war. That is something that Congress has the constitutional authority to declare. It'll get us in hot water with NATO, might lead to military conflict with NATO. This is wrong if that is what the president really means by this.
Well, I tell you where Trump benefits from is, and it's always been like this, he benefits from when he says something outrageous, then people just go, well, he's just playing, folks.
Right.
But he may not be.
Right.
But he benefits from both arguments. So if you say, okay, well, he's not serious. He's just laying out the negotiation stakes,
right.
like a business transaction.
And he is a wheeler dealer
in New York. That's how he was a business tycoon, right? So he does with so in negotiations with people about properties or business, you always, you set your mark real high, and then knowing that you're going to have to come down off of it, and that's how we all play the game, right?
Right.
So to speak, that's how the world works. When you're negotiating the sale of a car or a house or whatever the case may be, I'll give you 100. Oh, that's too
Are
low.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're kidding me. I got to have 120, and then you settle on 110. That kind of thing. So, but Trump does benefit from, because when you go take Greenland, and then somebody says, "Well, what's he?" Somebody says, "Do you agree with Trump taking Greenland?" Then all you do is say, "Oh, he didn't really mean that."
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he does do that quite a bit. That's how he operates. So I agree with you. I don't think he should have said that. What we just heard him say. That's not helpful.
Right.
So to speak. And now is he sending Marco Rubio?
Greenland
Denmark?
Actually came here to meet with was in the U.S. Denmark's foreign minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen. And Greenland's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Vivian Motterfeldt, came to Washington, D.C. to meet with J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio at the White House.
Okay. So, Ed, type in on your search engine there, does the U.S. have military bases in Greenland?
They do have one, I know.
I think there's more than one, but type that in and see what the AI-generated answer is, Ed.
While you're doing that, could I say, probably a lot of people, if you told them 3 weeks ago, we're going to do a military action in Venezuela is on the table to take out Maduro. We're going to land troops there, we're going to kidnap them, we're going to bring them home. People would have said, Trump's just talking. But you never know with the guy.
And that is part of his modus operandi.
Right.
You never know. The United States currently operates one military base in Greenland, Pituffik. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It may be Pituffik. It's P-I-T-U-F-F-I-K. Pawtucket Space Base, formerly known as Thule Air Base. I had heard about Thule Air Base way back in when I was in Boston College and took some courses on foreign policy and military and during the Cold War, and I remember Thule Air Base. It is on the northwest coast of Greenland, which most of the settlements are. I think it's because it's a little bit warmer. And it is the northernmost U.S. military installation in the world and is operated by the U.S. Space Force.
So we already got a military base there.
We do. I don't think it's relative. It's not all that large. I think it is an early warning detection facility.
Okay. Then if we're going to take Greenland over their wishes, the 40,000 citizens who live there and the Denmark, which is
an ally.
Yeah, then Trump at least needs to say what these national interests are. Huh?
Well, listen, my personal opinion is he needs congressional approval to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
This isn't
Mike Johnson said no, by the way.
Yeah, this isn't like Venezuela where you say, okay, we're going in, we're getting out. You know, the 1973 War Powers Act does give the president, because sometimes things happen quickly. This isn't the 1800s where you can send word to Washington. You get time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but Congress needs to be informed. Leaders of Congress need to be informed within 48 hours and then pass, I don't know if it's 30 or 60 days. They then need congressional approval. The president, I don't think, has the authority, constitutional authority, to take Greenland, because then the U.S. Congress has to allocate money for whatever we put there. This is not a constitutional move.
Listen,
if the president winds up doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think he should negotiate some sort of a deal that the people of Denmark and Greenland are happy with. And they get a lot of money for us having access over there. I think that's what they need to work out. Not to Trump telling basically the mayor or the governor.
Premier.
Just telling him, I don't care what you say. I don't even know your name. We'll take it if we want it. You can't do that, okay? I guess that's a big constitutional question.
Let me add this to the argument. In 1951, during the Cold War, we made an agreement with Greenland or with Denmark, and it was updated in 2004, and it gives the U.S. broad permission to build, maintain, and operate military facilities in Greenland. We already have.
But then what's the issue?
I don't know. I don't know why they don't just use it.
Then if that's true, if we already have the right to do that, it must be about the minerals. And Greenland does have a lot of rare earth minerals. Maybe what Trump is thinking is we've got to have those because otherwise we're under the thumb
China's
of China. China's going to get them or whatever. But it's still an act of war, and you need congressional approval.
You need
to make that case before Congress.
He's not going to get one vote in favor of that.
No, and if you want to really put pressure, you want to really play 4D chess and put pressure on Greenland and Denmark, you have congressional hearings. That'll ramp up the pressure. You have congressional hearings that says, listen, if the U.S. is going to be the big boy on the block and protect everybody else, we need access to rare earth minerals. There's plenty in Greenland.
Right.
And we either Greenland makes a deal with us or for our own sake and the sake of Europe and free countries everywhere, we're going to take it. And if Congress says you got our permission, then it's a legal move.
I thought we already had an agreement with Ukraine to get the rare earth minerals in the middle of their country.
That's under the shadow of Russia at this point. That may be part of the point here.
Well, listen, I would just say this: if the U.S. can discover rare earth minerals in my backyard, I'm willing to negotiate some sort of a financial benefit to me and my family.
We might send troops as your dog up to the task of defending your property.
13-pound Maltesers, they can only do so much to defend your home, Steve. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to today's issues. Have a great day, everybody.